The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from KAOS 89.3 FM, Olympia, Washington, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day, you turned on your radio, and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! Hello, people, and welcome to the Thunderbolt for September 4th, 2020. And yes, I have finally received one too many complaints about referring to listeners as kids, as evidently a lot of people out there consider that to be condescending. Now, I know what I mean when I say that, but evidently a lot of other people take a different interpretation, and so I will accede to the common wisdom here and start referring to listeners as people rather than as kids. So hey, people, as most Washingtonians know, the Oregon coast is a popular tourist destination. Oregon's rough, rocky, mountainous shoreline presents one scenic wonder after another, all combined with the awesome power of the sea smashing onto rocks and cliffs. And another feature that once graced the Oregon coast was an exploding whale. And now, Oregon's newest state park celebrates that storied event with the opening of the Exploding Whale State Park in Florence. Officials announced the park's new name in May at the 113th Annual Florence Rhododendron Festival, which has a special theme this year, a blast from the past. For you see, in the fall of 1970, a large dead whale was found on the beach in Florence. According to the Oregon Historical Society, the dead decaying sperm whale posed a serious health hazard and it needed to be disposed of. But locals decided that it was too big to drag away or to bury. Thus, officials came up with the idea that provides a classic case of why people feel about politicians the way they usually do. The officials decided to get rid of the dead whale by blowing it up with dynamite. The idea was to blast the stinking carcass into manageable bite-sized chunks that scavenging birds and crabs could then clean up. And so, a large crowd gathered to watch officials blow up the whale. Within seconds of the explosion, all of them found themselves dodging huge chunks of dead whale that rained down over a quarter mile from the blast site. And all of the spectators and all of the surrounding area and even parts of the town itself became drenched in whale gore. According to Live Science, spectators fled in all directions, escaping the awful smell and the rain of rotting whale flesh. One particularly hefty slab landed on an unaccompanied car about a quarter mile from the blast site, crushing the roof, and everyone nearby was drenched with dead whale. And after all of that, their plan did not even work. After the explosion, much of the whale's body was still in big chunks that were much too large for small scavengers to carry away, and thus, the demolition crew ended up burying the remaining pieces of the carcass on the beach anyway. At least you can say that Oregon has learned from its mistake. Current policy in the state of Oregon specifically prohibits blowing up dead whales.
Mr. Georgie Thornton received a call one early morn. They found a rotting sperm whale beached on the seaside town of Florence. It was long as a bus and 8 short tons of blubber in decay. And Georgie Thornton scratched his head, boy, how do we haul it away? How do we haul it away? He called the district engineer, a feller named Al Allen. But Dal had gone out hunting bucks, so Georgie took the helm. The protocol was simple enough, just bury the carcass in sand. But what do you tell the tourists when they come to the hump in the land? Come to the hump in the land. And as the seagulls circled high and the crowd gathered in wait, Georgie cried, of course, why not? The whale will detonate. We'll use the quarry's dynamite, and so it arrived post-haste. In spite of the warnings that it was too much, he strapped on 20 a case. We'll blow her to heaven's gate. We counted down and covered our ears, and then we turned to George. He hit the switch with a flick of his wrist in the stillness of the morn. The explosion threw the whale flesh well over 800 feet away. The blubber rained down upon the town in chunks of white and gray. Chunks of white and gray. It covered the town and the old schoolhouse with bits of skin and grizzle. It covered the church where we go to pray with blubber all over the steeple. It covered the diner and the laundromat with bits of blood and bone. It covered the old Ben Franklin with a wash of rancid foam. A wash of rancid foam. It covered the sun as sand and dust then settled down over the town. It crushed a brand new Oldsmobile that was painted silver and brown. Soon the town was buzzing with the Portland Evening News. Georgie Thornton backed away with blubber on his shoes. Blubber all over his shoes. He stood his ground with the register guard, he stood his ground so well. He blamed the TV and the newsmen for blowing it all to hell. He said it went just exactly right, and he seemed so sure of himself. They promoted Georgie to the Medford office, and we bid him fare thee well. We bid him fare thee well. Now a reeking memory lingers on our little town of Florence as we reflect upon the whale and good old Georgie Thornton. When in our shock we stood amidst the rubble and debris, now at least we know what not to do when a whale washes up from the sea.
Donald Trump is so bad in so many ways that it's probably impossible to even list all of the badness that is resulting from his idiocy's reign in the White House. Fortunately, though, Donald Trump is very bad at being bad. And the fact he is so bad at being bad is good. Because he is so bad that if he were good at being bad, then that would be a level of exponential badness that would be even more incomprehensible than this sentence is. And so, this thunderbolt is called baboons with chainsaws. And no, that is not a new metaphor that I have made up to describe the Donald Trump administration. Though it would be completely appropriate for that use, and I now wish that I had thought of it. Anyway, regular listeners may remember that I recently aired a major thunderbolt mentioning some of the upsides that would accrue were humanity to begin devolving back to our ape origins. Well, it turns out that perhaps the apes are getting ready to replace us should we decide to do that. It turns out, in fact, that Seattle and Portland are not the only locales where vandals and thieves are marauding unchecked. It turns out, in fact, that there is a gang of miscreant primates in the Knowlesley Safari Park. That's Knowsley, who have taken to vandalizing and stealing things from parked cars and then terrorizing parked visitors with various weapons, ranging from knives and screwdrivers to, yes, even a frigging baboon who is reportedly armed with a frigging chainsaw. Just when you thought that it was safe to go outside again. Fortunately, the baboon did not know he had to prime the carburetor, and thus he could not get the chainsaw started. Wait till they get their hands on a bazooka, though. Who knew that the planet of the apes was prophetic, lending more credibility to the accuracy of these reports is the fact that in spite of numerous eyewitness accounts and numerous photographs of armed simians, the Knowlesley Safari Park officials keep insisting that armed apes are an urban myth. Right. there is a move afoot to designate Black Lives Matter as a terrorist organization. Now that news probably seriously freaks out a lot of people. But I would note that what this means is that BLM is seriously shaking a lot of people's trees. Now, I think it is unlikely that they will be able to get away with that, but we are in uncharted territory these days. So who knows? Should Black Lives Matter actually be designated as a terrorist organization, then the federal government would be free to use their fusion centers to collect all of their endless data on everyone and then inform the Joint Terrorism Task Force upon who the BLM leaders are so that they can subsequently blackmail or discredit or arrest or murder them. Evidently, there is an online petition where if you can garner over 100,000 signatures, then the White House is obliged to respond in public to that petition. The petition to designate Black Lives Matter as a terrorist organization evidently garnered over 141,000 signatures, thus obliging the White House to respond. The Rumps people responded that the White House, quote, plays no role in designating domestic terrorist organizations, unquote, which is a frigging lie. And then they stated that the government doesn't even keep lists of domestic terrorist organizations, which is another frigging lie. Finally, they said, quote, therefore, we are not able to address the formal request of your petition, unquote. So the Rumps people dodged a bullet without suffering undue political damage. But they had to lie through their teeth in order to do it. And besides that, I don't think they could get away with it now anyway. Because too many people have been woken up. And unlike our previous racial battles in the United States, this time, a lot of white people have woken up. The brutal injustice and the systemic nature of the racism is becoming all too obvious to all too many people. And I don't think they can keep a lid on it anymore. And if we can dismantle the racism machine, then that is one of the three pillars that hold up the entire imperialism machine. We are making some serious progress here, people. Let's keep it going. Whatever progress we are making these days is not thanks to the Democratic Party. Quite the opposite, in fact. So I attended the last Zoom meeting of the local Democratic Party before the primary, when the question of whether or not to endorse Joe Biden came up, though. to my horror, I realized that no one else was going to speak out against that motion. And this was even though I knew there were several people there who loathe Joe Biden as much as I do. Well, maybe not quite as much. They really don't like him. And therefore, once again, it fell to me to state the facts that almost no one there wanted to hear. I.e. that Joe Biden is a lying, corrupt, reactionary war criminal and child killer. And that I would rather lick one of those little colored things that they leave in public urinals than vote for Joe freaking Biden. For anything more influential than a freaking dog catcher. Now, I didn't quite put it that harshly at the meeting. And in fact, for me, I was quite diplomatic. I probably did not make any friends, and no one else spoke out against endorsing Joe Biden. Three people spoke in favor of endorsing Joe Biden, and all of their arguments invariably consisted of some variation on the theme that Donald Trump is so evil. That is true. That fact, though, does not mitigate in any way the fact that Joe Biden is a lying, corrupt, reactionary war criminal and child killer. So far, the only campaign strategy seems to be that Joe Biden is not Donald Trump. Evidently, the Democrats want to saddle us with yet another lying, corrupt, reactionary war criminal and child killer so they can keep doing the same thing the Democrats have been doing for the last 40 years. Evidently, because those strategies have produced such awesome results. One of those results being the fact that we now have a freaking clueless clown as president. Anyway, the local Democrats voted 57-2 to officially endorse a lying, corrupt, reactionary warmonger and child killer for President of the United States. Since there were around 80 eligible voters present, this means that around 20 of them didn't vote at all. Probably meaning that they didn't want to vote for Biden, but they also didn't want to be on the record voting against Biden. Probably because voting against Biden would likely kill any chance they would have of ever advancing within the Democratic Party in the future. Victor Menjarez, a corporate Dem who chaired the meeting more like an autocratic dictator than as an impartial adjudicator, was especially insistent that a screenshot be taken of the vote on the proposal to endorse Joe Biden. So I am probably officially on the Democratic Party shite list now. Well, if so, I am proud of that achievement as well. For I am now on the record voting against endorsing a lying, corrupt, reactionary war criminal and child killer for president of the United States. That act will probably represent the high point of my political career. Several people have contacted me and thanked me since, praising my courage for speaking truth to power. The mere fact that it takes courage to speak truth to power in and of itself delineates one of our central problems. If anyone who voted at that meeting to endorse Joe Biden happens to be listening to this week's Thunderbolt, I have a serious question for you, and I would really like an answer. When I refer to Joe Biden as a lying, corrupt, reactionary war criminal and child killer, do you disbelieve me? Or are you really willing to accept that? It's time for a quick station break now. The Thunderbolt will be back in just a minute.